Welcome aboard, you people. Starship Road Concha. Now for another day. Ending of the week of Broadcast Insights. All right, a lot to get to today. We were, after the show last night, we were talking, the production team and myself, about things that are going to be coming up today on the program. And I said, well, you know, we should always keep an eye on this coronavirus story, because you just never know if there'd be another case that pops in Chicago or that in the United States, let alone Chicago. And one popped here. So I wanted to localize the story, but not this way. Dr. Ngozi Ezike is with us, and you heard her in the news at the top of the hour. She's the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. And, Doctor, thank you so much for being with us. Let's talk a little bit about what we know here. This is a patient that was in Wuhan province in China in the end of December, beginning of January, came back here and then became symptomatic.
That's correct. The person did travel to Wuhan, and then upon return, after the return, did develop symptoms and did refer herself for medical treatment. And after that evaluation, and in working with the local public health department as well as the state public health department and the CDC, we were able to get specimens that then could confirm the diagnosis. Unfortunately, given us the first case in the state.
Is that patient still hospitalized?
In this case, yes, that is the case. The patient is in stable condition. We usually don't like to get too much into the details of the individual case, just to maintain, you know, their health privacy and their privacy in general. But this patient is in stable condition.
But the patient came back. It was reported earlier today, as a result of that press conference, that patient did come back to Chicago in the middle of January. Right. So they started to get symptomatic. One would imagine a couple of days. Do we know
after their return?
Right. And then how long does it take to be able to test to make sure that this is what you're looking for?
Great. That's a great question. So all testing for this novel coronavirus 2019 has to occur at the CDC. So all specimens, respiratory specimens, blood has to be sent to the CDC in Atlanta where it is run. We're not able to run this in our state lab at this time, but if that becomes a more pressing need, the CDC will be able to help us get that capability here.
Right. All right. So it's one case here. I know in the press conference earlier today, it was made clear that this patient has not been to large public events, limited public transportation, limited access to more than just a few people, I would imagine, around the patient. So are you, as the chief, you know, the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, the chief health official for the state, what is your level of concern that this could spread here based on this one patient?
Right. So I believe that the risk remains very low for the people here in the state of Illinois. We only have this one confirmed case, and as was reported previously, there are not a lot of close contacts for this patient. So we are continuing to put the word out just in case there are other travelers to that region that have come back and who develop symptoms. We want them to call ahead to their medical provider and then get instructions on how they will seek evaluation.
Is the CDC sending extra assets here to Chicago as you...
Yes.
And what kind of assets do they send in a situation like this?
Yeah, so we have been talking with the CDC just in preparation for over 2 weeks, just as we became aware of the situation in China. We were just in conversation, should something happen in the U.S., should something hit Illinois. So those conversations and the gearing up and the information to our local health department had been ongoing. We actually, once we got this person under investigation. We were accelerated our conversations with the CDC, and actually we do have personnel in terms of actual CDC staff that are already on the ground in Illinois to help us look at this case and learn as much as we can in terms of the transmission and spread and learn all that we can about this novel virus.
Dr. Ezeka, I don't want to be an alarmist about this, but you know, you see the movies that there's logistical support that comes into places when there's concern about pandemics. Obviously, way too early to deal with that here, but that's the sort of preparation that would be the next step if people started to get sick here in the same numbers that you're seeing in Wuhan province or even half of that set of numbers, right? Doctor? All right, well, that's not comforting when that happens.
Uh-oh.
We were just talking about the logistics, because you see that in the movies where they bring in medical tents and things like that, isolation tents, because you have to be prepared. Because when the pandemic, it were a pandemic to hit, and there really hasn't been one of these kinds of pandemics in the United States since the early part of the 20th century and the Spanish flu. But there isn't a... there has to be a certain amount of logistics that surround that, because you see that in the movies, and I know that they do that for real.
We should have listened to the doomsday clock.
I think you're right. Lauren Lapka, why don't you tell us about the traffic and the weather? We'll pick this up on the other side. When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for the updated forecast from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
Chicago has been building its public health preparedness systems for years, and we have a solid response plan in place. There is no need for the general public to change their behavior in any way based on this news.
Okay, that's the Chicago Public Health Director from a news conference earlier today after it was revealed that the first coronavirus patient in Chicago, second one for the nation. You had the one in Western Washington State, and now the second for the nation is right here in Chicago. It is a patient that was in the Wuhan province in China, came back here from here. I thought I had heard that they said it was a woman, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
It is a woman.
So there are people who are referring to it as a woman. Okay. So.
And Senator Durbin said earlier that she was in China today to help take care of her elderly father. So that's why she was there from like December to January and then came back, got sick, and now is in the hospital.
Okay. And so now that she has returned, she started to get symptomatic after she got back here. They made the point that at this press conference that she hadn't been to any major public events, wasn't taking public transportation. So the risk, according to public health officials, is very low that she would have communicated this to a great, you know, mass group of people or a number or had contact with a number of people, which is how those things tend to spread. Igor Koralnik is with us. He is a neuroinfectious diseases specialist at Northwestern Medicine. And Dr. Koralnik, thank you so much. Let's talk about the difference between how these kinds of viruses spread, the ones that seem to have just jumped from another species to humans. Why are they more virulent than, say, the flu or other diseases? Or are they just as virulent but just more dangerous because we don't know?
First, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So what you said is absolutely correct. The flu is a virus that infects millions of people in the world, and there are actually 400,000 people every year who die from the flu. And so the rate of fatality from flu is about 1%. So it's a very serious epidemic as well. And we have vaccine, and the flu virus varies all the time, and we have to catch up with those different vaccines. In terms of coronaviruses, those viruses cause common cold in most people, but you have epidemics with variants or evolving coronavirus that can cause, like, SARS or MERS, for example. And this is now a novel coronavirus that has never been seen before that seems to have jumped from bats or snakes into humans. And so far, we still don't know exactly what is different in this virus and why it's causing those fatalities. But this is a field in development.
So the fatality rate in China has been about 3% or a little over 3% so far, based on the numbers that we've seen from them, from the Chinese government. So that makes it three times more deadly than the flu, but that's still 3%, right? People are recovering.
I agree.
And recovery in these kinds of situations when you have illnesses like this is really it's the level of care that you're getting from basically sophisticated medical systems. Like they have a pretty sophisticated medical system in China now. We obviously have one here. As long as people are, they have oxygen available to them, if they're having respiratory symptoms and they're properly hydrated, the body can fight these things off better than if they're not.
You're completely correct. So most people who are infected with viruses in general, you know, have no symptoms. Few of them will develop symptoms. In that case, they will have fever, cough, sore throat, shortness of breath, flu-like symptoms, and they can develop pneumonia. And there's no treatment for the virus or the disease. And so the care is supportive, including oxygen, hydration, help with the breathing, and help with the high fever.
Do we know if that's are those the symptoms that they're seeing from this coronavirus in Wuhan and potentially with this patient here in Chicago had?
Yes, so I think that what we know from the patient in Chicago is the patient is mainly asymptomatic, but the patient who developed pneumonia have the symptoms of viral pneumonia that we just discussed. And the rate of fatalities, as you said, have been about 3%, mainly in elderly people.
Right. And that would be the case with the flu, too. When you look at the fatality rates in the flu, it generally is people who are immunocompromised, the elderly, the very young, unfortunately. We had a case of that in Illinois fairly recently. So it's people who, if you're fairly healthy, these viruses, and you're properly hydrated, and if you really start to have trouble breathing, you have to seek professional medical attention. You have to go to a hospital.
Exactly.
And let's talk a little bit about that, about people who are presenting at hospitals. At a moment like this, are the hospitals throughout the Chicago area, everybody obviously is on the lookout for it all over the world now, because you know, last couple of weeks this has emerged. But in Chicago, when somebody comes in with flu-like symptoms, are they going to isolate them?
Probably not. They will ask them where they're coming from. Obviously, did they travel to China recently? Have they been in contact with somebody coming back from China, especially this area of China? And there's no reason to isolate everybody who has a sore throat, fever, or cough, especially, in the cold Chicago weather.
Yeah. And people now are obviously, we're almost at the peak or still at the peak of the flu season right now. Is that how are we in that particular, because that's obviously laying over this fear, and so people are going to start to feel sick and then start to wonder, well, you know, what is it? So the flu season seemed to be peaking a little late. I know there were two strains, the A and the B strain, and the A seems to be emergent late here. The B was the early one. Where are we now, do you know?
I don't have a specific epidemiological data for the flu season, right now in Chicago. I think that it's important to know that people need to get vaccinated for the flu every year. They need to alert their primary care physician or medical provider if they feel sick, especially if they have fever in this setting, and shortness of breath especially. But people should not be unduly worried about getting coronavirus if they have not been in the area of endemicity, and if they have not been in contact with somebody traveling back
who
from this
been.
Area.
Right. Eventually, in these kinds of infectious outbreaks, though, that goes away, right? I mean, because eventually, if there were to be, and again, public health officials here in the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago are both saying that they have this patient that has coronavirus is very unlikely to have transmitted it to somebody else, or certainly into a mass group of people, you know, like at a sporting event or stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but when these things, like right now in Wuhan province in China, it's, you know, you obviously had a patient zero, and then, you know, it sort of spreads out. And if this does become more widespread, it doesn't, they won't be screening for that. They won't be screening for, were you in China or in contact with somebody in China? That would have to be at a point in which hundreds of people would have probably come down with it, right?
You're right, and we're early in this epidemic, but obviously it's good to have all this media attention and people talking about it and people being aware of this, especially in port of entry into China, out of China, in a large airport in the U.S. as well. And I think that, as you said, these epidemics need to be contained by certain forms of quarantine. So I think that there are about 40 million of people in China who are not supposed to leave this area. And the method of screening, both from the CDC standpoint and the Illinois official standpoint, are really adequate. People are really aware of this threat. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that we should be overly worried, especially for citizens of Illinois to be exposed to this new coronavirus and become sick of that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Igor Korelnik from Northwestern Medicine. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having you on the show again.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. I feel somewhat better. Not quite as freaked out as I was 28 minutes ago. But man, when I woke up this morning and the first thing on my phone was coronavirus in Chicago, one might imagine my reaction to that. Longtime listeners, my friends, my colleagues, the people who spend time with me would know that this is a moment where I literally drew a bath and put my head in it and thought, well, until I really had to breathe. So I was thinking, maybe if I just put my head in the water, I won't be able to get near the disease.
I'm surprised you don't have a mask on right now.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you walked out the door.
I did ask not to walk out the door, but they said I had to come in if I wanted to get paid. So I decided to come in. But if you'll notice, if you're watching this on the cameras, I have a plastic body bag over me right now. And I'm breathing through some other device. I'm kind of like a Batman villain right now. All right, Kevin Powell is out at the Sox convention for us. He'll be reporting from there all day. We'll be talking to him a little bit later on in the program at Sox Fest, which is this year, Kevin, at the McCormick Place, right?
Hello, Ro.
Hello, Kevin.
I am here at Sox Fest 2020. Hundreds of fans lined up to see this year's club. Very exciting.
I would say this is what I like about this is that Kevin is doing this like it's a golf match. We are here at Sox Fest, where hundreds of people are lined up. There is Eloy Jimenez. It's just
where I'm located.
16-foot putt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. All right. Thank you, Kevin. Good checking in with you. sound very happy. Somebody get Kevin a drink. All right. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News. Then Ben Bradley joins us. And the lovely Tracy Butler, America's sweetheart, is going to join us and talk about the weather that's moving into Chicago a little bit later on tonight.